Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard on a beautiful Monday morning, the Monday after the mock draft. We did a mock draft last night, and I urge you to come to the website and take a look as we're scheduling our next mock draft in a day or two. So it's a lot of fun, 12-teamer, and, you know, it's very interesting. I'm usually in a in an only league, NL or AL only league. I compete very little in mixed leagues. But when I'm drafting a team in a mixed league, 12-team mix, and I take a look at my players, I get freaking excited, man, because I say, what a team! And then I take a look, and it's not as good as everybody else's. But still, it's exciting to finally draft a team with stars on the team. And there were stars in the chat room, so let's get it going. All right, as we wait for the Chicago White Sox to make their move, if they sign Ian Desmond or Dexter Fowler, they have to give up the 28th pick in the draft. So let's see if the White Sox are for real. And if they are for real, we're going to talk today about one of the there's a couple of teams that have, in the offseason, shown that they are going to win now. They want to win now. And they've done certain things to indicate that. We'll talk about one of those teams in just a few minutes. And we'll add the White Sox if they sign Ian Desmond or Dexter Fowler. And if I'm the White Sox, I'll sign both of them. Absolutely sign both of them. Interesting about one of the teams that is showing that they're not in it now, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers, the team that will be starting Jonathan Villar at shortstop on opening day. That's the way it looks right now as Orlando Arcia. Now, let me get something straight here, okay? I had a couple of people over the weekend email me about trades involving Orlando Arcia. Now, here we go. This is the classic hype-aloney. Orlando Arcia is going to be a very nice player. Could be a very good. He's not Carlos Correa. All right, let's just get that straight. He's not Corey Seager. All right, he's a nice player, but the stats that he provides can be gotten by just in the draft or just by drafting properly. One of the trades that I remember was a trade where the owner was going to give up Cole Hamels with a chance to win this year in a deal, and he was excited about getting Orlando Arcia. That was the bait. Orlando Arcia right now is nothing more than bait. That's right. He's bait. He's bait to trap you into making a trade where you can get a Cole Hamels or somebody good so you can win now. I take the position in dynasty leagues, and last night I'm in the chat room with Tim Wilson. Not Tim Wilson, Rich Wilson and Tim McLeod. I used to know with Tim Wilson. And they did a sort of a three-man mock draft, a dynasty style. And I'm listening to their picks, and their picks are good. They all make a lot of sense. They back up their, you know, one thing about Rich and Tim and some of the experts that really know what they're talking about is that they just don't give opinions, but they back themselves up with a reason. And certainly also Alan Savinas was in the draft, and Alan is a very astute player. Alan really knows his stuff. They were taking players that I loved, I agreed with, but I'm listening, and I'm taking the position that if I'm in a dynasty league, and I'm not in a dynasty league. You know, look, there reaches an age where dynasty leagues just don't make sense anymore. But the point is that I'm going to win. I'm not drafting any of the prospects. Maybe I'll get, you know, here or there if it makes a lot of sense. But the truth is, I'm going to do my damn stinking best to win in the first year. Why do you play to win in the second year or your third year? What do you? Everybody thinks they're going to create a dynasty. I know it's a dynasty league, but that doesn't mean you're creating a dynasty. It means it just goes on forever with the same players, and people get that confused. A dynasty league is not, you know, you can't build it so that you can win 5 years in a row. That's a Major League Baseball dynasty. But the truth is that if I'm drafting in a dynasty league, I'm trying to win it today, so I will not give up Cole Hamels. I will not, give Orlando Arcia unless I'm so stacked in pitching, and I sincerely doubt that you will be. So just a little pointer there. So Villar is going to start at shortstop. And then Arcia will come in at the proper time. The question now becomes, what happens if Villar plays well? He could also move over and play some third base. But the real upsetting thing about the Milwaukee Brewers is the fact that it was reported today, and if you can go to the website, got an article up there, Ryan Braun is behind in his rehab for his back surgery. And here's the article. The article says he hopes, that's with a capital H, he hopes to be ready for opening day. Not spring training, opening day. So, and he says he won't be 100%. So Ryan Braun will not be 100%. And that's tough. He had such a great year. People have mixed, in spite of the fact that he stole a lot of bases, and he had a typical Ryan Braun year. The lineup around him is going to be so awful that he falls into the category of Freddie Freeman. That's right, John and Joey Votto. So Freeman, Votto, and Braun. Three players who have been first or second round picks now find themselves in lineups that are just in the tank. There are so many, and all these teams are in the National League. There are so many National League teams that stink that it's going to be very interesting to see how it affects. We saw how it affected Freeman last year and his lack of RBIs. We saw how it affected Votto last year, even though he hit 20-plus home runs. He still didn't drive in anybody. Is that going to be the fate of Ryan Braun this year? So we'll see about that. Braun with all kinds of ailments with his finger and the whole deal. It's going to be interesting to see how Ryan Braun does it, man. How does he do it? One of the other things, one of the other fallouts in the trade for Corey Dickerson, you got to understand, Tampa, who made a good trade there, but I don't know how good of a trade it really was. I mean, I think the value of Jake McGee at the All-Star game, I mean, at the trading deadline, is going to be able to fetch, and you wait and see. You etch this in your kitchen table and check it out yourself. Will Colorado be able to get more for Jake McGee at the trading deadline? Left-handed power pitcher coming out of the bullpen who can close games. Will they get more at the trading deadline than Tampa was able to get trading Jake McGee now? Now, one of the reasons that they got Corey Dickerson is Tampa was 30th in Major League Baseball in runs against right-handed pitchers. And, of course, Dickerson, the lefty, one of the many lefties in Colorado. So Tampa had 30 runs. He was ranked 30th against right-handed pitching. Dickerson will absolutely help themselves out there. But then you take another look, and the Colorado team, you know, people talk about how the Colorado Rockies need pitching. They need pitching. Well, you know, we talked the other day about how the addition of Jason Mott and Jake McGee and Chad Qualls may they're going to try the bullpen thing, load up that bullpen. It makes a little bit of sense. Once again, I'll remind you that the Colorado pitching staff last year ranked last in percentage of fastballs thrown. McGee, players with 10 or more innings, had the highest percentage of fastballs thrown. So, he did, had the highest percentage. So 93%, I believe. And, of course, Jason Mott was at 84% fastballs. So you can see what they're trying to do there. However, you got to believe that that's not the problem. Believe it or not, first glance, no pitching. They got no pitching. Colorado's got no pitching. And Colorado can't win because they got no pitching. Well, how about if I told you that the Colorado Rockies hit 302 as a team at home? Oh, they got no pitching. But they hit 228 as a team on the road. You hit 228, you can't tell me it's your pitching that's bringing you down. And somehow, The Colorado Rockies, with their .228 batting average on the road, it's a miracle that they can win games on the road because their pitching is not that great. And it's just a bad situation because what happens, and a lot of people say, you know, the hitters are good. The hitters may be good, and Dickerson was one of them. But it's the psychological aspect of hitting in Coors. When you're home, psychologically, you're ready to go. But when you go on the road, the whole thing in Colorado was a mental case because the pitchers realized, I remember when Shelby Miller first pitched in Colorado, he came off the mound and he said, I can't pitch here. Gets in his head. It gets in the hitters' heads also. When they're at home, in their head goes confidence. And Yogi Berra once said, 90% of this game is 50% mental or something like that. But when they're on the road, forget it. It just goes right down the tubes. So pretty interesting to see what's going to happen there in Colorado. And there's also some talk. Look, there are some fantasy players, especially the guys playing the daily game. I've heard grumblings that Coors Field shouldn't be allowed in daily fantasy because everybody takes the Colorado players. Everybody takes the players that are playing to get in Colorado. And then, goodness gracious, what happens if it gets rained out? So, holy mackerel, it gets rained out, they're in bad shape. So pretty interesting to see what happens there with the Rockies, see if this little pitching situation of, I'll tell you, this bullpen's going to rack up a tremendous amount of innings. By the way, we talked about Milwaukee and Ryan Braun and Gene, you know that Gene Segura? Weird numbers by Segura. He actually walked fewer times than he stole. He had more stolen bases than walks last year. Look it up. I forget the exact numbers, but I just noticed that the other day. Gene Segura had more stolen bases than he did walks, and they plan on batting him in the top of the order. So we'll get to that in just a minute. So Segura, more stolen bases than he had walks. You tell me. I wonder how many players in their history have had that. Also, the center field battle. One of the things we'll talk about in the next coming weeks before spring training is the positional battles, and those will be pretty interesting as we welcome Billy Hayes, Gripweed, the Natural, Michael Johnson, Matt Obrist, the great Mark Hammond, Jet 9, Greg, Billy Hayes. Listen, Mark, put in the chat room. Put a link to your stuff, man. People want to get it. Put it in there. Got a free year subscription by Mark Hammond. So, Mark, put it in the chat room if you're still hanging in there. Okay. But one of the interesting position battles is going to be in Milwaukee with Domingo Santana, the favorite. Reimer Liriano, who absolutely fell out of favor in San Diego. There was a time we thought this kid was going to be something. And then Kurt Nieuwenhuis, who's probably nothing more than a backup, but that's the situation there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So and also, you know, when we talk about the teams that have done so much to win this year. You know, there are teams like Milwaukee, they're unloading. Cincinnati's, what are they going to do with Brandon Phillips, by the way? I mean, Brandon Phillips has turned down a deal to the Nationals. He voided it. He vetoed a deal to Arizona. Arizona really wanted Brandon Phillips. So what happens? And Cincinnati, who went, you know, went crazy. Matt Over says it'll be Santana. Well, very well could be. But what happens to this? Remember Jose Peraza, the focal point of the deal that they made to get, you know, they traded Todd Frazier. He was the guy they wanted, but they, unless they play him at shortstop, but then they got Suarez and they got Cozart. They got three guys to play shortstop in Cincinnati, and Brandon Phillips is going to have to. Hey, Brandon, come on, man. Some people think that the Dodgers actually helped themselves. I don't know how that could be. But you know something? If you take a good look, the Dodgers may have helped themselves by having. The Dodgers probably. All right, let me throw it out to the chat room. What do you think the Dodgers have the best in? The Dodgers have, in my opinion, have the best something in Major League Baseball. They have the best something. All right? Is it pitching? Is it hitting? Is it defense? Is it offense? Is it base running? What do you think the Dodgers have the best? I think they have the best of something, so tell me what you think they have, okay? So I'll tell you what I think in just a few minutes. Also, you know, I'm talking about Colorado. It's going to be very interesting at the trading deadline this year because best wasted money by Matt Obrist. There you go. Best bullpen? All right, I'll tell you what they have. You guys are close. It's going to be interesting. Colorado is going to put McGee on the market if they don't work things out and start winning. And they'll have Cargo on the market as well. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see Colorado in action at the trading deadline with Jake McGee and Carlos Gonzalez. And I think that'll tell a big story, all right? Vin Scully, you're right. Absolutely. They got Vin Scully, the best. Hi, honey, I'm home. That's Vin Scully when he comes home from the game. Anyway, the Dodgers have the best bench. Absolutely have the best bench. I mean, they got Chase Utley on the bench. Now that they got Kendrick, they got Kiki Hernandez, who's coming off a shoulder surgery. But Kiki can play the outfield, can play second base. They got A.J. Ellis behind the plate, back up. They got they got Scott Van Slyke. They got Andre Ethier. Holy mackerel, that's Utley, Kiki, Van Slyke, Ethier, Ellis. Is there a better bench in Major League Baseball? Do the Dodgers have so much work to do that they will be dealing some of these guys? Mark Hammett's putting up the stuff. He needs your email address and password, and he'll sign you up on his end. So thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. So there you go. By the way, if you want Mark Hammond's stuff, and they got Alex Guerrero, too, yeah, on the bench. If you want a free subscription to Mark Hammond's stuff, a lot of stats in this on this website, send me the email, lennymelnick@gmail.com, and I'll hook you up with Mark. No problem there, okay? So there you have it. Pretty interesting to see how that's going to work out. Now, I mentioned the teams that I thought were teams that absolutely knocked it out of the ballpark and just made that statement that, hey, we're here to win. We are here to win. All right. Now, clearly Cincinnati has made the other statement. Very clearly Milwaukee has made the statement the other way. There are teams that have just said, hey, forget about Atlanta. We know Philadelphia. Boy, look at all these bad teams all the bad teams in Major League Baseball coming out of the National League. I mean, the Atlanta team, no chance to win. Philadelphia team, no chance to win. I'm not even saying Miami. I'm going to leave them out because I think they got an outside chance to be something. Cincinnati, Milwaukee, no chance to win. And then you go out west, it's too many teams. But the one team that I think, and there's a couple of teams, we'll just cover one today, and that could be the Arizona Diamondbacks. And there's going to be here's a couple of things about Arizona that you may not know, okay? I got some interesting stuff on Arizona. All right, first of all, I really do believe, that Segura is going to play shortstop. Even though if you look at Nick Ahmad, he was just as good offensively and better defensively. Go figure that out. And he's been pushed to the side. I think Segura, the hope is that he will rebound. Don't forget he suffered a horrible tragedy of losing his 9-year-old. Boy, it's going to take years if you could ever recover from that. So that's for sure. So no question about that. No question about that. So, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how that works out. But what they've done, I wouldn't be surprised. Arizona, Jonathan Lucroy makes a good match there with Wellington Castillo and Tuffy Goosewich, and I think they could use a lick there. But here's a couple of things. First of all, with Segura going to bat the top of the lineup, David Peralta may also, I think if you're paying attention, A.J. Pollock in the last part of the year, A.J. Pollock batted third in the lineup. I think A.J. Pollock bats third. I got a feeling that Gene Segura is going to bat at the top of the lineup. I also have a feeling that Chris Owings is, you just can't be displaced. Chris Owings could bat a good season. He's a stolen base guy. His shoulder was so bad last year that he could hardly move it. He really was affected by a bad shoulder, had off-season surgery. I love when they have the surgeries. You know, when they don't have the surgeries and they just rehab it, doesn't it make you nervous that it's going to reoccur? But when they have the surgery, you get a little bit more confidence that things are fixed. So I'm kind of liking that. So Arizona has made that statement. Of course, it started off with Zach Greinke, no question about it. But I'm looking for A.J. Pollock to bat third this year. They love that. A.J. David Peralta could move up as well. And I think they got a pretty good bench. Nick Ahmad, Phil Gosselin, certainly up the middle, they're solid. Brandon Drury is another guy who could challenge Jake Lamb over at third base or even play some second base. So up the middle and in the infield between Ahmad and Drury, they got plenty of depth here. Now in the outfield, Peter O'Brien can play the outfield. Not well. He can play the outfield. Still, maybe he'll catch Socrates Brito, left-handed hitter, Jason Berjos. So I'm kind of liking what Arizona has done. And now let's just jump to the bullpen for a second, because here's another thing about Arizona. Right now they got Brad Ziegler, and there's talk about going after a closer or a setup guy. Evan Marshall still recovering from a head injury. Etch this in your kitchen table. They got Sam LaClure. All right, not a fantasy player, but still. But here's a fantasy sleeper for you. Fantasy sleeper, get your pens, pencils, and bloody fingers and get ready to write this down, because this guy could be. Don't you get the feeling when you see Brad Ziegler as the closer that's not gonna last? I mean, Ziegler, tremendous. Seventh, eighth, bring him in. He's one of those guys that could be the effector. Bring Brad Ziegler in anytime the game is on the line. Bring Brad Ziegler in when the game is on the line. Seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, he could do it. And Matt Obrist is hitting it on the nail. I'll tell you something. You guys are too freaking smart. Matt, do your own freaking podcast, all right? Don't you spoil it for me. I'll tell you, you guys are sharp, man. That's why I love you, because this is dedicated baseball people right here. Right here. I'll challenge. I'll take this website, and I'll take this podcast. I'll put them up against anybody, okay? It's the Daniel Hudson. He had some bullpen experiences, and I'll tell you, if they don't put him back in the rotation, and I don't think they will, Daniel Hudson could be a huge sleeper in closing for this ball club. I mean, Daniel Hudson could be a huge sleeper closer. So we'll keep an eye on Daniel Hudson, certainly in the offseason. You got to keep an eye on Daniel Hudson in spring training and see what he does. Randall Delgado's not going to close. They got Matt Reynolds, who's had some experience, but they need Reynolds as the lefty along with Andrew Chafin. So I'm really liking what I see here. Really liking what I see. For Daniel Hudson, I got a feeling he could absolutely be. Now, as far as I mentioned, AJ Pollock could very well bat third in this lineup. So, and that's a big difference. When AJ Pollock, and I had him last year, bats, you get AJ Pollock, you get Jacoby Ellsbury, you get Carlos Gomez. And I know I've said this before, but this is probably one of the most important things that you could remember about, especially about the auction or any format. Whenever you have a home run guy, especially if you're keeping track on a computer or whatever it is, or you're charting your home runs, you'll get the home runs, you may get the stolen bases, but you won't get the RBIs when you draft one of these guys from the leadoff spot. It just doesn't happen in the National League. And then you find yourself chasing RBIs because you've spent so much money, so much value on these guys. It's tough. And you can only get RBIs really from the 3, 4, 5 guys. So I hesitate to stay away. But if I know that AJ Pollock, and I would stay away from, maybe I would take Pollock and that's it. I probably would rather go with Gregory Polanco at a lesser value, but that's a story for another day. I'll definitely jump on Pollock. Talk about things that you've got to etch in your kitchen table to watch in spring training. Where is AJ Pollock going to bat in that batting order? That's a big freaking deal, okay? It's a big deal. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. because he's a different player when he bats third or fourth or wherever he's going to bat. So just keep it going. By the way, if you want to go to the website, go into the water cooler. If you're looking for a league, put your information there. We got a section that says calls for people who are looking for leagues. If you're an owner of a league, if you're a commissioner, or if you need another owner for your league, we got a spot to put that information in there too. We already had a couple of people. So, there you go. Yeah, Brad is right. Pollock and Betts going for 25-5. I don't know about 40. 35-40, you can't do it. You can't. You can't go 35-40 on either one of those guys. I mean, it's just too much. It's just a little too much. Now, if you're – you see, here's the deal. At the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the draft, you really can't go for those guys because that's not what their value is. What I do to determine that is I will make a list of every player. Now, this is a generic thing. I went over this with Matt Obrist just a little bit and a couple other guys. By the way, and Matt, I spoke to a nice conversation with Matt yesterday. Send me an email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com, especially if you want to go through a little seminar about how to draft in an auction. Believe me, I've been doing it for almost 30 years, and I do the same thing every year. I don't win every year. Sometimes I pick the wrong players, but I'm going to tell you something right now, and this is the God's honest truth. I have always, since I started doing this, I have always come out with the team that I want. Yeah, I mean, if I'm drafting 15, I'll come out. Maybe I'll have a couple of alternates. Once in a while I'll get stuck. Everybody does. But for the most part, I come out with the team that I want. Now, the problem is maybe I want the wrong team. Right? Maybe I'm not picking the right players. Or maybe I'll get an injury. But I have not been unhappy with any draft that I have walked out in 30 years, and the way, especially the auction. Snake draft's a little different. But so if you want to know how to do it, I put dollar amounts in for every player. Make sure it adds up. 10 teams, 206. It's got to add up to $2,600. When you do that, you'll realize that Pollock can't go for 40. You put Pollock in at 40 and Betts in at 40. It doesn't make sense. It just won't work. Okay. Now you can get them, but you'll be overpaying, and it's going to cost you at some point. You can't overspend. You can't do it at the beginning of the draft. Now, towards the middle or the end of the draft, if these guys come up and you have extra money, what's extra money? Extra money is if you have a guy for $10 and he goes for $5, you got an extra $5. If you have a guy for $15 and he goes for $10, you got an extra $5. So if you have extra money that you're keeping track of, then maybe I've done that. I've done that with Cameron Maybin. I had extra money. People said, "What are you, nuts? He fit my team. I had extra money. I overpaid for him." I have no problems doing that, but not at the beginning of the draft. As a matter of fact, the opposite happened. I realized that a couple of years ago in Towel Wars, Carlos Gonzalez was called out like the third player. And I had him for $36, and he was at like 28. And even though I didn't want Carlos Gonzalez, I had to take him. Only because I know if I have him at 36 and he's going for 28, boy, oh boy. Right away the draft was out of sync. In my opinion, you got to feel the room. You got to understand that. You got to really understand that that's the kind of stuff that separates the champions from the chumpions, okay? So you got to play that out. All right, so tomorrow there are a couple of players that we know are going to be traded at the, in addition to Cargo, and I'll talk about tomorrow some of the players that I think will be traded by the trading deadline, and that's going to make a difference, so it may make a little bit of a difference in how you look. And also, look up the name Tyler White, okay? Tyler White and Francis Martez, okay? Francis Martez was a pitcher that was taken by Houston in a Miami deal. And he could be one of the top five prospects in baseball. If you're in a dynasty league, Martes. And also, I know everybody's jumping on the Reed bandwagon, but check out Tyler White. He could be a very interesting sleeper. Guaranteed, nobody knows about him. Okay, that's right. Don't you love those guys? But we know about them. I know about you. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m., everybody. Come to the website. I'm always there. I'm the greeter. Thank you.